Hey everybody, welcome to My Epi Movies. This week we are talking about the animated dog fighting movie, Pokemon. Now, this is a show, of course, we've grown up with, and now, 25 years-ish, last year, Ash Ketchum became the world's greatest Pokemon international fighting champion. But this is the humble beginning, where me and you two fight for the first time. Anyway, it's a very strange movie, and as you'll hear in the podcast, there's two different versions. There is a original, hand-drawn, traditional animated kind of anime version, and then there's a new Netflix 3D CGI animation version that are the exact same plot, exact same story, and almost shot for shot, other than the animation render. You can watch either, they're about the same. The old one has that charm that is gone in the new. Anyway, thanks for listening, thanks for subscribing, thanks for following along with us, and thanks for listening. Thanks for doing all you do to keep us going. Bye, everyone. Welcome to IOP Movies. This week we're doing an animated movie, which I would say is a classic, but only because it's turning 25 years old this year and is part of a $26 billion franchise. Now, we're watching Pokemon Poland, the first movie, but I will say this, some of us watched Pokemon Evolution Mewtwo Strikes Back, which is the 2019 shot-for-shot remake made by Netflix with CGI. Now, I'm going to call on someone at random. Matt Quinn, what yep. Pokemon movie, number movie, do you think the 2019 remake is?
10.
Geico, what do you think?
20.
Alex, what do you got?
12.
And Candace?
27.
And Sudsy?
I'm going to guess 15.
The 22nd movie in 25 years, earning at least $700 million each in Japan and globally. This is one of four of them that made it to the American theater. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, riffer on Cineprov, and member of a sextet who is going to talk about this movie. And on panel, we have Matt.
Uh-huh.
Yako.
Hi.
Alex.
What's up?
Daniel.
Hello, this is Daniel, and I caught them all, but in that case, it was VD.
And Candace.
They are now referred to as STIs. Please get in the fucking know, Daniel. And then, of course, I'm Candace, also a riffer from Cineprov, but definitely not Evan.
Yeah, so we should mention that Evan is our, Zenial? Our adorable 20-something who shows
He's our
up.
Little brother. He's our little brother.
And this was his idea. And his idea was to, of course, not show up to this episode because I feel like the Speed Racer episode, he was afraid we'd break his heart.
But we didn't. I don't get the I don't get what's going on here.
You're totally right. Okay, so we should just kind of go around the horn here. But I had Pokemon Red. My brother had Pokemon Blue. I have since replayed those. But I watched very little of the show because of my attention deficit. It was too slow-paced. Along with Dragon Ball Z and things like that. But do any of you have a background in the Pokemon world other than the games or maybe just the games? What do you think?
We're all your age. Of course we do. I had Pokemon Red for the original Game Boy when it came out. I had a binder of Pokemon cards. In fact, I remember the theater giving, was it Mew cards away?
Yes.
Or Mewtwo cards? Something or other when they released this. For the people who weren't there, this was everywhere. This was everywhere at the time. I mean,
I'm a little older than all of you. And so when this came out, I was 16, but I had a little brother who was six. And my whole job was to buy him everything Pokemon. And then I used to take him to Toys R Us every Saturday morning where they would have lunchroom tables set up of people playing Pokemon challenges. And that was my job every single Saturday for like 3 years straight.
Alex?
Is yellow a thing? I mean, I feel like I had Pokemon Yellow. Is that like the most basic one?
Yeah, that was a thing. That was that was a re-release of Red and Blue, but it had Pikachu in it.
Right.
It was the main Pokemon.
Right.
I remember playing that on Game Boy. Yep.
There you go.
I think I would just sort of like get out of the main town, get into the bush a little bit, snag some Pidgeys, you know, that kind of thing. And that's, I think that's basically my, the extent of my Pokemon experience there.
Everything you just said sounds like a double entendre.
It is.
Snag some Pidgeys, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There I was, snagging Pidgeys.
I think I was like mildly into Pokemon. Like I think I had a Game Boy game, but I was not very good at it because I don't like turn-based RPG games. I like to draw them a lot, and I liked to watch the show, but I don't remember caring about this movie. Like, I don't remember this movie.
See, I remember, even at the time, usually I think The Scorpion King was the first movie I saw in theaters that I thought was really bad, but I remember at the time not really liking this movie when it came out.
But you loved it this time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's now my favorite movie.
I remember taking my brother to this movie in the theaters, and it was, I thought it was cute. I thought it was fine at the time. I remember crying during it, and he cried. Yeah. We were crying together, and that was great. You know, that's trauma bonding, you know, with siblings. So that's good.
I love making kids cry.
What did you cry about watching this movie?
Super sad. It's touching.
Oh my God. I can't jump in. I'm spoilers. I don't want to jump into it until we do the whole synopsis thing, but you know the part I'm talking about.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, no.
When they, at the fucking Care Bear share at the end, come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
would they share with tears instead? I mean, I watched this today, I was like, oh shit, I've done this.
I mean, if you're
gonna make children cry at this point, then the death of Optimus Prime back in the 80s was like the high bar. And this is a little lower on the scale.
I mean, to be fair, I was thinking about this. There was this whole movement of like kind of American appropriation of Japanese TV shows, then making them into movies. I was thinking about when they lost their Zords in the first Power Rangers movie. And I was like, no, not the Zords. Although I will say, rewatching this or whatever, my original intro before I said is to go with the trivia intro about how many movies there were. It was like, this is the first movie about dog fighting, which has a moral about IVF. Because it's like, even though I was created in a lab, I'm a real person. I'm just like, what?
This movie is an adult, covers everything. It covers cloning. Yeah. It covers racism. It covers slavery. Like, there's a lot of deep layers. And I don't know if they meant it to be that way. It's only we take it that way now. Pokemon didn't mean it to be all that. They didn't care.
This movie starts out as Poke Frankenstein's monster becomes Poke Hitler. Then we end up with the kids playing monsters at a picnic.
See, they could have gone the poor things route.
What if I'm technically just engaged to my waifu pillow? And it is now a person because I have imbued it with my DNA. So with that seamless transition,
that's the end of the episode right there.
So with that seamless transition, who wants to give me the synopsis? Everyone's shaking their hands at me.
If only Evan were here to give the synopsis of the movie he chose, I'll do it.
Okay, Candace, do it. Take us home, baby.
So this is about a group of scientists that are offered funding into genetic research, and they agree to try to clone the greatest Pokemon that ever existed, which we find out is Mew. Mew, he's on like a little Aztec tile, and supposedly there's DNA in the tile. I don't know how that even happened. I have some science questions there. But
he imbued it.
Oh, yeah, go. I expect more from you. Actually, that's exactly what I expect from you, and I love you. All right. So as an end result, they succeed, and they create Mewtwo. So this is a cloned super version of Mew. However, Mewtwo is bitter about his purpose. Immediately comes to life, and he's like, all of my memories I have, are they mine? Are they a dream? what is this? What is my purpose? It's to serve the butter. You know, it's that kind of deal, right?
It's really Philip K. Dick Blade Runner level existential crisis right here.
It's very existential crisis. So in order and to become...
I was also about to make the joke about you pass butter, so thank you.
What is my purpose? You pass the butter.
You pass butter.
Oh my God. So in order to become the greatest, because obviously when you feel that you're not worthy or you don't belong or you have no purpose, you have to overcompensate. I would not know anything about this. You become the greatest. So he opens a challenge to the world to battle him and his Pokemon. Because even though he feels it's totally wrong that he has been cloned and that dog fighting is wrong, he still creates clone Pokemon, which, you know, makes me question his level of taste and ethics and morals.
Did you forget how he kills a crap ton of people?
I mean, listen, people deserve to be murdered. Have you met people? They're like the fucking worst, right?
Those people,
one star.
Those people, they deserve it.
Yes.
They suck. They were like the worst. They were so
they were scientists.
So, so Ash and his friends are one of the few groups of trainers who receive an invite to come to this island to prepare for a special battle. That's all they know. They don't get any other details, much like me and my marching band gig. They're just kind of like, yeah, we'll do it. They don't know. They don't know shit. They don't know what they've signed up for, but they're going to do
it. You know, the shitty thing is this could have been a Pokemon Enter the Dragon, which would have been awesome. But no, it doesn't turn
this
out that
way. This
is a
Pokemon Enter the Dragon.
Well, they try and set it up that way. The movies
I got vibes off were Mortal Kombat and the Guyver.
Guyver, an episode so old that it's behind the paywall. Great. Yeah, we're rapidly approaching 500, ladies and gentlemen.
And so then, of course, what happens is at that point, they make their way out to the island. They're battling for Earth and Mewtwo supremacy. And then something amazing happens. I don't want to give the full
thing. That's
I want
back
to
of
stop
the box.
There and do a nice, then let's kind of unravel the treat.
Yeah.
And then we'll get on to it. Yes. So that was the first time I've ever done the synopsis. Did I do a good job?
Perfect. Perfect. It's kind of back of the DVD cover. All you need to know is the bare minimum. You don't want to go on. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good.
All right. So I'm going to call on someone because we had an ongoing text and it sounded like it was breaking his spirits. So, Ewald, I want you to tell me the first notes you actually had because you sounded like this was destroying you internally.
I mean, the first notes that I took were, I guess, just like, at the beginning, there was a...
I didn't mean to break you,
see,
buddy.
Let's see. Hold on. I'm sorry. Well, I don't know. I didn't mean to say that I had a ton of notes.
Just give me your thoughts.
Yeah, let's see.
I have a game, by the way, why Alex is getting his thoughts together. This is a beautiful board game. And look, doesn't that remind you of the art that Mew sees in his memory? It's about the Imperial Gardens.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, a little bit.
But frankly, I thought it was the Paramount Mountain. And I was very confused because I'm like, isn't this nonsense?
No, the Paramount Mountain. The Paramount Mountain is the Bells in Colorado.
Right.
Isn't this when it pans down and Indiana Jones is there hunting another artifact?
Yeah. So I don't know which version you guys watched. But in particular, I watched the Netflix one again. I've seen them both many times because my daughter got obsessed with the show. And if you have not been following at home, Ash became the world champion last year in the 27th or 28th season of the show.
How old is he in that movie, though? Is he still a child?
43?
He's ageless, Kieko. He is the Karate Kid, Zabka. And it's funny because like so few people that you would recognize are there. And that's not to say you were in particular. It's just that he's shed off so many friends over the years, but Team Rocket shows up and Meowth is there and they're rooting him on. It's kind of great. They became rivals and now they're friends.
I love that. Cause I love Jesse and James. Jesse, James and Meowth are the shit.
They're the best part of everything.
They're the best part of the whole show.
Meowth was decent, but I remember that stupid rhyme they had to say in every Pokemon episode. Just
Here comes trouble and make it double.
Make it double.
It's not,
oh
it's
my
not a rhyme.
God.
It, all right. It's an evil monologue and you will respect it.
It's an incantation.
No, no, I shall not.
They are the living embodiment of that meme of like, there's a couple looking at you from across the bar to see if you're groovy. And it's Jesse and James. And
yeah,
her like, and I also like how it's like always casual Friday for Jesse, because like she's got the bare midriff and she's rocking that hair. And James is like just the dumpy friend, and it's kind of the best. And Meowth, he's running offense, and it's great. It's so good.
Meowth sounds like one of the pigeons from Animaniacs, though, which is a little distracting.
Oh, God. So, as Candace mentioned, and as we referred to, I do like our Indiana Jones cold open. They're like, there was a legend of a Mew. Huh. Here it is in some crappy clip art on the wall. Or if you're watching the new CGI version, it's literally like this dude who looks like a villain. And they're gesturing to this wall, while Mewtwo is floating in the background, like just a, like a Zardoz's head. It's phenomenal.
Show me what you got.
See,
I kind of wish I had watched that version. I'm kind of sad that I watched the traditionally animated one.
Yeah, see, I only watched the original one.
Apparently, again, Pokemon can say their own name, but in this movie, whenever Mew is going, what he's saying is the penis is evil.
But is the gun good?
Yes, the gun is good, but the penis is evil.
I like that movie, but it's baffling.
It's unique. It's baffling, but it's
so. Which of you has the red battle thong?
Well, that's just for Candace to know, and I didn't specify which Candace.
Both Candaces.
Oh my!
Everyone thinks when you say matching couples undies, you're thinking something adorable for me undies, but. Sometimes it's just not. Sometimes it's a dual bandolier and a red thong.
And you have a wig with a ponytail down to your ass.
All 40 inches, baby.
Low down, sister. So from our evil introduction, the scientists, of course, end up, based on my good southern roots, cloning Mewtwo in what looks like sweet tea. And from that sweet tea imperative, we have like this kind of like, it's, I mean, like Kieko said, they're villain scientists. Like, the fact of the matter is, if there was any other dialogue, and I mean literally any other dialogue, because Mewtwo says the same things of who am I, where am I, what the hell's going on, about 7 times. And it's really easy to write a script with controlled paste. But the whole thing is like, they are testing him. Wow, you're the most powerful Pokemon. We're trying to make Mew. We made this sequel, which is cleverly called Mewtwo. And he fucking kills them all, which, you know what? Makes him the hero of the movie so far. But then he runs into, and again, sit down because I'm going to crack out my Pokemon knowledge, Giovanni, who's the head of Team Rocket.
Oh, yes.
That's right. Yeah. Giovanni is considered the primary antagonist of the entire Pokemon universe. That's the honor.
More so than the guy that you were with in the first game who picks out the Pokemon with you and then becomes like your rival master.
Well, even more so than that. And I know that's hard to believe.
Yeah, so Gary is your nemesis. But if I recall correctly, Giovanni is the final boss before you have to beat Gary once again. And Giovanni is kind of like the mafia. I mean, Team Rocket is Team Rocket. It's a good villain for this show.
Well, here's the thing, though. You just referred to it as a show, which, as an extended episode of the show, from what I remember of it, fine. But it's called the first movie. They do nothing to do any world building. They do nothing to establish who any of these characters are.
Did they call it the first movie when they made it?
When it was released in the U.S., it was called something different in Japan, I think.
In Japan, it was called Mewtwo Strikes Back.
Which is the remake's name. So it was kind of like, and this is a weird stretching metaphor, but who cares? I'm the host. It's like how the Batman 66 movie is. The first couple seasons of the show was so popular, they just naturally assumed that they would have a movie. So they just kept the same staff and writers on and said, let's just introduce one of the mythical Pokemon and make it into a movie. And so that's what this is. Like Daniel alluded to, like that Batman 66 movie, it's just kind of an extra episode that at 67 minutes was the length of three episodes. Why not? And I bet you when it was first shown in America, not on the big screen, it was just divided into three episodes because it's about 20 minutes before he gets the invitation from the Dragonite. And then it's 20 minutes until he gets to the island. And then there's 20 minutes for that final fight scene. That's three episodes, right? And that's just, that's how it worked. You know, it's like those Futurama seasons that no one remembers or cares about, except for me, because I was so sad about that damn dog dying that I watched all those Futurama episodes and got real sad about it.
You're going to bring up Seymour now?
Hey, man, you know what? It's a dog that doesn't have to fight to be, like, loved. And I mean, I get it. Pikachu's adorable, but it's just there to kill other Pokemon, which is kind of great.
Yeah, that's the other... What are Pokemon?
Well, but it's not there to kill other Pokemon, because that's something that we differentiate in the film from the show that we've always known, which is they're very upset towards the end that Pokemon are fighting other Pokemon, even though that's what they've always done in every show and every game we've ever played. But apparently it's controlled fighting, which is different than real fighting. And so, and fighting to the death, and then nobody wins, and then it's sad, you know. But so it's like, it's okay to fight. It's much like the concept of it's okay to go to a karate tournament and you to do karate against somebody else with a referee and this, that, and the other. But it's not okay to just karate people on Tierra Boulevard at a Wendy's.
I will say, though, if that's the metaphor.
That's oddly specific. Right. Is that something you saw?
Listen, Matt, you don't know my fucking life, okay?
I used to live on Tierra Boulevard, okay?
Of course you did.
He did. He was selling tricks on the corner.
Mm-hmm. I thought I knew
that.
I thought
it was you, Nick.
Well,
maybe if someone's drunk enough, they can't tell the difference.
Hey, he was turning such good tricks, he got a free Dave's double.
That's why they call me the doctor.
Some people called him the gangster of love.
I lost
the silence means that nobody calls him that, Daniel.
Yeah.
No,
nobody up here. Maybe down in Tierra Boulevard, they miss him.
Yeah.
I was trying to process to see if I could somehow work that into something with the Pokemon theme song. Like you had to catch them all, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Gangster Rumble.
Oh no, you lost. We've all lost Matt's tricks joke.
So I have a question. This is, I guess, like a lore canon kind of question.
Okay.
So when Mewtwo starts to wait, so Mewtwo invited everybody out to the island. And then he made a giant storm. Was it so that only the strongest ones would get to him?
That was my understanding.
So, but there was this, one of the girls, the security guard girls or whoever they were, was like, oh, this is the winds of the water. And this is an ancient prophecy and something or other. What was that?
For there was no weed left, or she had smoked it all. And I will say, that scene is weird. In the CGI version, it's like twice as long, and she has like these hair that comes down like they're tentacles, like she's like a sea monster. And it goes, I have been here for many years in charge of this port. I've never seen the sea so angry. We must close the port! And you're just like, whoa, Gimli. Like, it's out of nowhere, it's Lord of the Rings nonsense, and it's phenomenal, because then this... again, in both versions, this is just like this fat guy in like a tank talk. It's like, well, you know what? I'm going to go because I have Pokemon. And he just busts through the gates. And dude,
So I'm going to throw it out there. Could it be that the security officer was also under the psychic influence, much like Nurse Joy, who is currently on the island?
Probably.
I will say too, Brock in love with Nurse Joy is my favorite part of all of this.
He's like, Brock in love with every woman ever.
Oh, yeah. God.
And, well, I thought both of them were cute, but then he realized they were both the same. So,
Brock's whole character, that is probably the one time I've ever felt comfortable telling another guy, dude, just go ahead and jerk off, please, right. For all our sake. Take however much time you need. You need to jerk off. Well, that I'm publicly saying it like I am now, but yeah.
So that, listen, that is a trope. That is a trope that all cartoons back then had. Like, he essentially is Sokka from Last Airbender.
Right.
He is the silly, goofy, lovesick comic relief.
And as a man, I've never had to deal with 16-year-old boys, but Candace and Keiko, I can only imagine. It's nothing but testosterone. And I do love Brock just going, oh, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And
I don't know. I was a lesbian during those years.
For the best. But that doesn't mean some guy didn't like give you an awkward hug and be like,
Please don't talk about Matt like that. He's right there.
You say recording an episode. No, but it's just like there's just this like kind of it's Brock's open mouth breathing. It's just like hey, Nurse Joy. And there's one of them in every town.
He's fun and adorable. I like that character. I'm okay
with
it.
Who knows?
Because here's the deal. Because Ash is super annoying. I hate the Ash character. So I'm okay with silly characters like Brock.
Well, I have a canon question about Ash. Is it canon that he's like a lazy, shiftless, guy who just sort of succeeds at Pokemon but he didn't like actually work at it or something like that, like they established at the beginning? Or is that the thing about him?
I mean, Alex, honestly, it's as though there's a prophecy and he's the one, right? Like he kind of, I mean, again, Candace said Avatar, it's the same kind of thing. It's like he stumbles into being excellent. And what's worse in many ways is that he has a bleeding heart. And it's not that I'm like some like old asshole, but it's just like, he's like, and like, it's one thing that he has his dog that can talk to him, but it's another thing that he literally runs in between two tanks. And he's like, guess what, guys? You should stop fighting. And then he turns to stone because what else is he going to like? And you're right. He's the asshole.
It's an entire franchise based on getting these animals to fight each other. And somehow them fighting each other is a bad thing.
Yeah, this movie is not an like anti-dog fighting moral lesson that everyone then forgets.
Because Mewtwo at the end
turns back
suppresses
time.
All their memories and turns back time. So that way they won't remember the lessons that they've learned. So that way it's okay to keep, fighting Pokemon like property.
Well, I always just assumed that was because Mewtwo was a big Cher fan and wanted to turn back time.
But well, he found a way. He took back all the words that would hurt you.
He sure did.
And Mewtwo is serving looks. So I'm here for it. Mewtwo's a Cher fan. That makes sense. Everything makes sense now.
He does strip down to naked. I will say,
he dance around wearing fishnets in the USS Missouri.
Also, isn't that where all the Vikings are?
Just let that sit. I know it
still exists.
It's a music video. I would say one of the best, but it's definitely one of those music videos.
Yep, one of the music videos that was popular back in the 1980s.
I was watching this movie, as an aside, with my daughter, and then we all ended up watching it. This is a very body positive show. The Charizard, Mewtwo, they're very thick, and they all have like pear shapes with like these big thighs. Powerful ladies.
It's okay. It's to counterbalance the women that are stick thin, because only animals are allowed to be thick.
I do love Jessie, but like her figure is outrageous, right? Like truly. And if you have not seen they say it's banned, the episode that is not regularly shown in syndication in the U.S. where there's a bikini competition and they have like 12-year-old Misty in a bikini and James is wearing fake boobs. It's amazing. Candace, we should do that for Atlanta Comic Con. The Pokemon episode with the beach.
That's a really good idea. That's a really good idea.
All right, so gather around, children. Back in the day, there were several Pokemon episodes that were never dubbed into English because they'd be too controversial. Right. One of them is the seizure episode, which involved Pokemon exploding and giving off flashing lights.
I remember that.
And then with James cross-dressing with inflatable boobs. That was another one. You were the coolest kid in school if you were even vaguely aware of these episodes, much less had seen them and had a copy of them.
So Pokemon Too Hot for TV.
Yeah, it's the Pokemon Indigo League, episode 18, Beauty and the Beach.
I think Matt just unlocked a memory for me.
Yeah, does anybody remember Cops Too Hot for TV?
Yeah, that was the commercial that came on right before the Celine Dion CD at 2 a.m.
Which now for me just turns into, do you have X chronic illness? Well, you should try this medicine.
That's right. Mesothelioma. It's no fucking joke.
No. Ulcerative colitis. I get those now because apparently my body has given up for me, but only on YouTube. The rest of me is powered by pills and hope. So, as we have been building to, oh no, I'm holding this together like duct tape and depression. So, at this point,
that's actually the tagline for Cymbalta.
Oh, I mean, I'm Christ. Pretty sure that's just Psyduck right there.
Psyduck just
Psyduck
just slaps bitches. He's just like, fuck it.
So effectively, after being on a beach and getting, and I love Brock just being that guy who watched too much Food Network and making food for him. The whole thing is that they get an invitation to this tournament, like you said. They go to the boat station, the ferry station, but the storm is too big. And so there's essentially four of them. Well, there's six of them, but three of them are Ash, Misty, and Brock. They try to go to New Island, which is a new island, and it turns out that it's Mewtwo there. The three others, two guys and a lady, are using their Pokemon. Our heroes go because, if you watch the animated version, a Viking longship, which is like a robotic ship with some pretty shitty disguises with Team Rocket, are going to the new island.
And no, the Viking longship is giving life. And the fact that Mewtwo is strapped to the front of the ship like a mermaid is fucking hilarious. It's just brilliant. Like, it's so funny. It's funny.
I know it is. And I love Team Rocket because they are what make the show work, if anything. Because, said, Ash is self-serious. Brock is like a mimbo. Misty is in left field just hugging her Pokemon.
That fucking egg all the time.
A Togepi, that's right. And Togepi then is Team the, Rocket show like up the and worst the show fucking happens.
Pokemon. Yeah, the worst.
I think, I want to say, as I recall, when Togepi transforms, he transforms into something really cool, but I don't remember that part of my brain.
Don't worry, I'll look it up right now. Let me get my Poke Index out. Of course, it's what it's called. Get it to life.
I mean, honestly, if it didn't turn into anything, it would be just as good, because for her, it's adorable. Like, that's the other thing you realize watching this. Like, Brock is the old guy because he's 16 or 17. And Ash and Misty are like 13 or 14. And so for her, she likes cute Pokemon because why wouldn't you? And she's good at it. And then Ash is like, you know what I'm going to do? Save the world at 12. And you're just like, all right, kid, just, you know what? Shut up and sit down. And that's the other thing too, which is, it's not just dog fighting. It's that these kids have apocalyptic weapons. Because Pikachu, it's adorable. But it is literally trying to take down a Mega Man villain by the end and just zapping these fuckers. And you're like, this kid is 14 and he has a rodent that could say is a living EMP. It's remarkable. He could get on a military base and take shit down. It's
again, what are the Pokemon? Like, really, what are they in this universe? Are they mutants? Are these just what animals are? And if so, how are they evolving their powers?
They're like pets. They're like dogs.
They're regular animals within their universe. But then there are Pokemon, which are their own mythical, unique creatures. And then there are those that are the rare Pokemon, which there are very few of. Mew.
Oh, actually, pause. So Mew is in a bubble at the bottom of the ocean. Yeah. And, like,
obviously, like one does, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, I feel really dumb because I feel like there are things that I don't get about this movie that I should.
Well, so there's like one Mew, is that right? Yes. Or, I mean, it's, I mean, they found the fossil of a Mew, or, I mean, there's multiple Mews. So what's going on there?
I
mean,
there should be multiples of Pokemon.
I think it's
so there. So there's a spectrum. There are Pokemons that are super duper common that you find all the time. And then there are Pokemon that are a little more rare. And then there's super mega rare Pokemon. You know, and that's where Mew would fit in.
Can we have one conversation without you bringing up that things are on a spectrum, Candace?
Listen, I can't help it that gender-like Pokemon are very fluid.
Oh, God. I love this.
So I had a question about some of the dialogue here. And I mean, like the Minnesota Vikings joke, is that indicative that like a lot of this movie is for American audiences, just whatever the Japanese script was, they just totally made some lame jokes and dialogue and script for American audiences because the, you know, the I didn't think Vikings existed anymore. They mostly live in Minnesota joke was.
I would be very curious to see
thing I've ever heard.
What the original Japanese dialogue was. Like, was it a joke that like wouldn't even make sense in English?
It was like a Japanese specific joke, and then they put an NFL joke in our version. Like, what's going on here?
I agree. I think it's probably just, I bet in their version, it was probably a joke geared towards not Americans, but geared towards parents. Because again, who's taking their kids to go, you know, who's taking the kids to go see these damn movies? So it's much like the Lego movie. You know, if you're the parent sitting there with it, you're like, oh, this is so funny. What a great little adult joke in this child's movie.
Right. It was like a Nippon Dragons joke. And then in England, it was like a Manchester.
A sumo wrestling joke.
Right. Uh-huh.
That's right. That's exactly what it would be.
Well, from what I've heard, and this is the dubbed version, so I don't know about the original, but from what I've heard, the dialogue wasn't just translated, it was completely rewritten for American kids, so there were a lot of jokes and lines that were not in the original and never meant to be.
It's fine. I believe it. It happened. I mean, again, we mentioned at the beginning Power Rangers, like those things were completely chopped up and resold because the video game is a very simple, basic collection slash like Kyoko said, JRPG, where there's turn-based combat. And then this show popped up because I'm sure there's a show for a lot of video games. If you haven't seen it, there was a Nintendo show that had Mario Brothers and Legend of Zelda shit. And then this became the biggest thing on the planet with plushes and toys and little mini games. If you don't know, there was even a Pokemon console. A little, like a Game & Watch sized console with Pokemon mini games that you could get.
Yeah.
Mm.
My brother, I bought my brother the electronic Pokédex.
Oh, no kidding.
And it was a red, like electronic Pokédex. I remember I worked a whole summer at McDonald's to buy it for him. Sure. And included everything up to Mewtwo.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mewtwo was number 150.
You were right. Yeah. Is he 150 or 151?
151. Like Mewtwo was 151.
I think he's 151. Yeah.
There was Bisingo
in the game only. But like that was the thing. And so watching this too, you have to realize that for some kids, this was Mewtwo. Because like it was a mythical thing. It was hard to unlock in the game unless you had a Game Shark. And then this made it real, right? Which is kind of cool with its thick thighs and purple eyes.
Please stop talking about me. I'm right here.
Oh, yeah. My.
What about the banging pecs, though? Those pecs.
Again, I'm right here. Huh? Please.
So, Candace, are you really Mewtwo?
I might be. I'm actually here as a representative of Mewtwo. So to talk like about Mewtwo rights.
Joy, spoilers.
Call her Nurse, the joy you have to earn.
That's true.
Do you guys think Mewtwo is a bad guy?
No, absolutely not.
He's meant to be the Frankenstein monster figure, so not really evil, but...
Yeah. Mewtwo is the Killmonger of the Black Panther world. He is to point out the ridiculousness of like being expected to be one way when you have created a monster in another. And look at that. I fucking just shut down the show. I'm about to go get another drink.
No, you nailed it. And
thank you.
And for the context, we see it. Just watch those leopard print like pants just walk out. For context.
They are rainbows. Thank you very much.
For context, it's the Charizard fight. Because we have these two Charizards fighting. And like the game, Ash is not skilled enough to truly control something that big. And so we have these two dragons, literally like fire-breathing, flying Godzilla meets Mothra dragons flying around, fighting. And Mew is too is just saying, you can't control these things. Only I can because I'm another animal talking to it telepathically because it's cheaper to animate. And the point of it is, this kid, like the one Power Ranger from South America, has heart and therefore can make the whole monsters work.
I think you just confused Captain Planet with Power Rangers, but I get you.
I'm getting everything right because I'm the host and we edit out your correction. But no, at the end of this, as we alluded, there's this fight between the six heroes and Mewtwo. And what he's been doing is essentially cloning the other Pokemon to try to make better Pokemon based on the better Pokemon powers and such. And there's this belief, there's this fight over, again, as I joked earlier, IVF and cloning versus humanity. And what does it mean to be living, which is a lot for this show, but this idea of, can you be improved based on genetics or not, I guess? Because what Mewtwo is doing is gathering up the other heroes' Pokemon with these master balls, which is a weird thing to say sober. The whole point of it is that he's gathering up the other people's Pokemon to take them to the basement to clone them and then adjust them. I guess this is genetic engineering to make them more powerful. So which the various Pokemon can fight their other, like it's an episode of Twilight Zone or Welcome to Night Vale, to see which one would win. The only one who does not fall in these early combats is Pikachu. And it's because, due to the power of his large mouth and unnecessarily large eyes, Ash saves it from the Master Ball. It is worth noting at this point that Team Rocket is trying to break into the basement via the, you know, the sewers, like you're a Star Wars hero or it's Mission Impossible. And the whole point of it,
or is Lord of the Rings. I mean, I will say everybody is always fouled up by drains. Drains are really what takes everybody down.
I mean, there's definitely some Lord of the Rings stuff in this episode. Like,
there's a lot of Lord of the Rings stuff. I know. I was like, am I the only one picking this up? I was like, don't say it out loud, girl.
Like brainwashed Nurse Joy is the mouth of Sauron, and this big gates open up. I mean, all you need to do is have Nurse Joy open her mouth and have really nasty teeth and say, oh, right. My master bids thee welcome.
Right. You'll be happy to know he suffered.
So
you mean someone so small could endure so much pain.
See, if there was going to be, if this was supposed to be a threat, like they had to defeat these cloned Pokemon, why not go full island to Dr. Moreau where Mewtwo's making his own, like from scratch? Because, I mean, he's just cloning Pokemon he's stealing for, I don't know, I feel we're missing phase two and going straight to the profit in phase three.
Well, I think it's because they had to explain that he was using the technology that Giovanni and that team had created, which was to create based on DNA that they already had from existing Pokemon and then making them better. So they had to kind of use that as the base of technology for it, if that answers the question.
No, I think that's exactly it. I think there's also something to be said here about this problem with trying to make something racially or genetically pure, which might be triggering in the Japanese slash, you know, just background. I don't know how else to say it, but like, you know what we could do? We could use genes to make them stronger. I think they're having not fun with it, but That's what they're talking about. And what they say, at least in...
Ooh, I have something to add to this.
Oh, good.
Because I just wanted to look it up real quick, which I did. So just 1 year earlier, 1997, the movie Gattaca came out.
Yes.
I fucking love Gattaca. That is such a good movie. And what a great thesis on, does it matter about how you are born to what the worth of your life is? So that was obviously a theme during this time. Save Nothing for the Swim Back.
Well,
what a
because,
great movie.
I mean, around here, like, I think you're right, just because what? Dolly the Sheep was
96. Yep, I looked it up. Yep, okay. This was very topical. Dolly, 96 to 2013, actually. Okay. Yeah,
nice. Thank you, Dolly. Alex.
Yeah, you're welcome. I didn't look that up before this. I knew that. I just knew that.
I'm very impressed by this Dolly knowledge. Good job.
Oh, mercy. But yeah, so like we're longer than the movie at this point. So we're
better than the movie at this point. So please continue.
We were better than the movie at 6 minutes in. So,
well, I mean, the end of this is the, as you, I believe Keiko mentioned, the kind of underwater in sphere Mew, the kind of in utero Mew shows up and starts just flying around and fucking shit up. Like, at first it's very subtle, but you know, they free the other Pokemon that are trapped in the cloning chambers. Then the cloned Pokemon fight their original. Again, this is very Twilight Zone-y. This is very Night Valley, like, fight your devil, figure out which one is the true Pokemon. And Mew, as the powerful Pokemon that it is, decides to support the natural Pokemon. Mewtwo supports the artificial Pokemon as Pokemasters. And Ash looks on horrified because he represents the heart of the whole situation. At this point, the other five Pokemon trainers disappear from the story completely. In a scene that in anything else would be an episode of SVU, it turns out that Nurse Joy, like Daniel said, was the Mouth of Sauron. And so at the time the Pokemon show up, Mewtwo breaks the spell, Nurse Joy is freed, and then she lands in Brock's lap. And Brock is very comforting until he's needed again, which is really awkward and very gropey. And Misty hides behind presumably a column or something with her Psyduck and her Togepi for the rest of the sequence as the two marbles that are blue and pink, or in the other version, the two CGI nonsenses start flying around and throwing blue and pink balls at each other for a good 6 or 7 minutes, while Pikachu looks at his double with tears in its eyes and decides it has to kill a bitch. And Kiego,
well, no, he kind of does the opposite. Pikachu stands there and just lets him get the shit beat out of him because he
like
will
a
not
Pikachu
fight back.
Rope-a-dope. Yeah,
it's it the is, real Pikachu is. That he's saying no, no.
He will,
and another
that he,
one.
That he's not that it's not right that he will not fight back. It's the other one that is beating him that they're slapping over and over again, even though he's crying. By the way, that is the genetically altered one, and so. It is only then, you know, that Ash learns from Pikachu's example that the only way to stop this is by not fighting back. Not fighting. Turning the other cheek, if you will. I read it in a book somewhere. I don't know.
It was a musical. I think it was Hamlet.
Never heard of it before, it but it kind of reminds me of the end of War Games. A strange game. The only winning move is not to play.
Oh, God, War Games. What a piece of shit movie. Let's not even bring that up. God, we did that. We did that at the Plaza. And I remember I'd never seen that until Nick was like, let's watch this movie. And I was like, okay. And I was like, wow, that's like fucking 2 hours that Matthew Broderick stole from me. Okay, cool.
Well, it's better than Pokemon, the first movie, War Games is.
Is it, though? Is it the same
yes.
movie? Maybe. I don't know. Hey, Daniel.
I mean, speaking of being a loser, let's talk about Meowth for a second. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I thought you were about to say, let's talk about Evan, but go ahead.
Okay. So why, if they really wanted to make this a movie, did they not get Danny DeVito or someone to voice Meow?
He's got the wise guy persona. They could have gotten someone like that. Yeah.
Those claws look like they would hate.
They used all the same people that they had been using in the show. And again, this was a very small budget show still at this time. There was only like a cast of, I think, six people, and they were doing like 23 different voices.
Which, you know what? That makes this movie to me get some points over Super Mario Brothers, because you know who I didn't need? Chris Pratt. Chris Martinet should have been Mario and should have been Luigi, like he was in the Mario games for 25 years. Mm-hmm. You know what? At least these Pokemon peoples, that saucy Jesse, that sexy James, they got to be on the big screen. So good on them.
Yeah. I'd like to point out the voice of Meowth is actually a woman.
Good on her.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I mean, she's been smoking Marlboros for like 30 years, but it hasn't caused a problem.
I'm sure she's fine. She's Lunch Lady Doris and Dave the Pickup Truck as well.
But Dave the Pickup Truck. I used to dance by that name.
Because you could pick up people with that truck.
That's right. That's the old truck.
I would say I do love the scene where Ash falls from like three stories and is like, oh no, the Pokemon, I've got to save them. And Nurse Joy, who, again, her name is Nurse Joy, ignores that completely, that he falls from 40 feet. And she's like, oh, those poor Pokemon. And at this point, Ash, who's paralyzed from the waist down, learns to walk again. And walks up and says, the only way to stop them from fighting is to stop Mew and Mewtwo from killing each other. And so he stands in the way of this blast. And I love this so much. Because, again, if this was any other movie, the child walking between the two firing lines who gets wounded is an emotional moment. And there I was at the end of the night. We had just had chicken salad. And I'm holding a beer. And Ash turns to stone. And I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, that whole scene is so freaking heavy.
It is, and I didn't feel sad about Ash. I didn't feel sad about Ash being turned to stone because Ash's voice is annoying. It's Pikachu coming up and shocking him as if I had fucking paddles in my hand,
yes,
resuscitating a patient.
Clear.
That is, I immediately thought of that, and it was very upsetting.
And there's no music. It's minimal score.
It's sound, nothing.
Very upsetting. I will say that is effective, but then all the other Pokemon's tears brings him back to life. That is when you're either in this movie or you're not. And if you're in the movie,
that's it's the Care Bear share. Text. It's the Care Bear share. That's it. Everyone's using their Care Bear powers, and they're like, their tears are forming together to make little fucking rainbows together. It, come on. That's fucking adorable. I cried during that. That's the part I cried at, by the way. Was when Pikachu is shocking Ash, like he's got fucking paddles in his hand. And then, of course, you know, when all the tears equal the real medicine.
I will say, too, in both versions, it's good. In the CGI version, there's, you know, extra frames, but Pikachu walking up slowly at first and then running. And then we've seen him too tired to keep zapping before, and then he finds the extra strength to zap him a few more times. The pacing of this is good, and all the other Pokemon stop fighting to watch this. Meanwhile, Brock is still checking out Nurse Joy, because of course you would. And Misty is very emotional here, and Ash is taking a power nap. But this is the one thing that they try to actually give direction to. And then everyone else does the Care Bear stare, starting with, I believe it's the seals. And you're just like...
Yeah. The seals. Or as I like to call them, pugs.
Dugong?
Yeah, that's a
dugong. The giant water things.
There are a couple giant water things, at least in the Netflix version.
They have like a little, I think they're dugongs, maybe. Yeah.
Right.
You know what upsets me about that Pokemon? The fact that their mouth is always open.
And oh, like, not that one.
The whole time.
They're like, it looks like they're like trying to eat like a big sandwich.
Right. Just that that's upsetting. It's upsetting.
Well, whoever edits this can delete it. But Candace, if you're upset by mouth breathers, you're going to hate Twilight. Because I don't think she ever closes her mouth the entire time. It's just, hey, Edward.
No, that.
I'm going to have to think, am I team Edward or team Jacob? I don't know. I'm going to have to watch the movie and find out.
Well, a car almost hits her, so you might be team Jeep. Smackety, smackety, do. All right.
I'm a team Drunken Sheriff Dad.
Oh, team Drunken Sheriff Dad is strong, dude. Because he's okay. Just like, he's 2.5 Budweisers in the entire movie and all of
I love serving Daddy Miller Lite realness.
With the shotgun.
Yeah. That's the best way.
So the end of this movie, I will quote Ewald here because he's climbing up, which is fine. But this is the tear circle jerk here. And Ash slowly comes back to life.
That's actually a panel at Frolicon, but please continue.
Pokemon, is that a thing? It's Japanese. Sorry, you can edit that out for sure. Never mind.
Well, the stand-up bit is called Jokey. And from there, you can go to the porno version, which is Jerkymon. Or the teenage version, which is Perkymon. And, it just goes downhill from there. So at the end of this, the clones go off to the island of Dr. Moreau. And Mew and Mewtwo agree that they can agree to disagree, and they fly away. And they don't have enough money to animate any of the background characters as they fly away. Because why would you?
And remember, they take time, though, to erase everyone's memories of the traumatic events that happened on the island.
I think they did that to me, too, because I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And, Kiyoko, I would have forgotten about it had I not watched the Netflix version, which is just slightly longer. So everything hits a little bit more. So you look up from your phone for more than 17 seconds. And because in both versions, they're standing watching those other Pokemon fly away, Mewtwo, Mew, and the clones. A kind of disc expands out of the floor. And then we cut back to the dock where the woman in charge of the dock and the head of the police are saying, you've got to wait. The storm is too bad. And then the storm lightens. And this time, though, Nurse Joy says the clinic is open as opposed to before where the Pokemon hospital. And then the sunlight slowly comes up. Brock gets an erection saying, oh, she's so beautiful. And then... the three of them go back onto the dock and just kind of look out, and the storm is cleared, and they don't wonder whatever happened to that invitation they got.
No.
And it's just wrong.
It's all been erased. And then, of course, we end up seeing Team Rocket, and they also don't remember what's happened, but they were transported back. So they're just hanging out on this island.
Yes.
Because, that's classic. And then I think after the credits, at the very end, you see Mewtwo flying off into the distance. Or no, yes. Mew. Just Mew.
Just Mew. Yeah.
And that's Pokemon, the first movie, 1998, Adventure Sci-Fi.
And based on this, in episode 200, or season 2230, we'll have done all 24 of these movies. God, can you imagine if that joke worked? So let's do our final thoughts. Sudsy, what do you think?
Oh boy, this was really, really bad. I mean, I saw the Netflix version, which I guess had better animation tonally because it looked more like a video game, but the script is just so awful. I mean, maybe if they had committed to the full Enter the Dragon bit, it would have been an Enter the Dragon ripoff, but it at least might have been something. I mean, what's here now is just weird hodgepodge of like elements from the TV show, elements from Frankenstein, elements from Kung Fu movies, and the theme and tone are just completely inappropriate because it's the opposite of what the point every other piece of media in this franchise is trying to make. So theme song, though, is an all-time classic. That's the only nice thing I'll say.
Sure. I'm just going by the camera. So, Alex, what do you think? Final thoughts.
Oh, yeah. On the soundtrack, my goodness, this is about as 1999 as you can get, just jumping off that. Christina Aguilera at the very end there, but... I think Mewtwo's change from I need to murder all the humans and all the Pokemon to on a dime, just changing from, it doesn't matter what how people were or Pokemon were created, that everyone's equal and everything else. It's that was pretty ridiculous to me. So that's sort of the main sticking point for me. That's just pretty lazy to have it center around Mewtwo just changing like that. I remember seeing the cartoon kind of after school, and I think it was about the same quality. So I'm not really surprised that the hour and a half movie is about the same, but it's what it is. It was fine. I didn't hate it.
Diego?
I didn't like this movie. It was painful for me to watch. I do think that Pikachu was the best actor in the whole movie. And I'm glad that I saw the traditionally animated version because he is just so cute. Like, something about seeing him in that drawn style with his little voice and his little cheeks and whatever. Like, he's just super cute. But that was really, the only thing I enjoyed, I think, was just Pikachu being cute and sweet.
Matt?
I don't really know or care enough about the Pokemon franchise to have a strong opinion. I mean, some of the stuff happens at the end made me feel feelings, which is impressive. But the whole ending, like, let's just pretend all this didn't happen. So we go back to kitty dog fighting. It was kind of contrived. Yeah, I don't know.
Fair. Candace.
So I just want to remind everyone that I see now that the circumstances of one's birth are irrelevant. And it's what you do with the gift of life that determines who you are. So I remember enjoying this film with my brother, because it was a big deal to him. He loved Pokemon. I liked it well enough, but it was like his thing. Watching it now, while I feel the movie was way too long and it was boring, if they would have just kept the very first part and the very end part, I think I would have liked it way more. And I like the idea of the Killmonger, Magneto type of villain that points out the fact that villains are not born, they are made. And I wish they would not have done the whole, I'm going to erase what you remembered part at the end, because I think it would have made the movie more impactful.
Totally fair. I don't know. I've been all over the place with these movies, honestly, because, like, on one hand, it's clearly a kid's movie, but it's also mostly a made for TV movie, which is kind of weird, which we don't usually do. But it's also a $1 trillion franchise. So, like, that's also weird. As far as plotting goes, it stinks to me of the problem that a lot of Marvel movies have, which is there's a continuity. You can't fuck it up. You've got to introduce new characters, but don't fuck it up. And you can't be creative, because it's a Marvel movie and you can't fuck it up. You've got to make it seem like there's these other movies. That's, to me, the biggest problem here. It's even trying to say something.
Yeah, you're describing it being very shackled.
Right. And like I said, like, there's even interesting things it's trying to say about artificial life. It's even trying to say interesting things about what this world means in a bigger context. But there's another season of the show coming in 3 weeks, and you can't fuck with that. So You can't be creative. You can't go too far. And even the CGI version, which I watched, they just updated to fit the new animation style, which the new seasons of the show are. It's funny that this just came out 25 years ago and is predicting the current media world we live in, where all the biggest movies are tied to a theme and one producer who doesn't let you be creative. We'll hire someone who can be creative, but we won't let them do it. And so that's just interesting.
Ye gods, it's the MCU.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
At least it's the MCU and not the DCU, because otherwise it would have burst into flames. So, regardless.
Well, or maybe Twitter would burst into flames and end up giving us a 4-hour director's cut. You can imagine the Snyder's cut of Pokemon the first movie.
Although I will say, give me all the director's cuts. I'm fine with the concept of them, but they're not going to save your bad movie. But like I was saying the whole time, that's the Marvel problem. Just Pokemon at least kept it to 75 minutes. Speaking of 90s properties that got one too many movies, next week, if you are tuning in, we're doing The Mighty Ducks 3, the one where Emilio Estevez stands on an apple box to do a cameo.
And all the kids are dicks.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one. I love the Mighty Ducks franchise, and I've never seen the third one.
Watch the third one and be on the episode with us. But regardless, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in every week as we keep doing this. Somehow, the podcast persisted, because this is episode 455.
Woohoo!
And we're only 15 episodes from the end of this season as I'm speaking.
Wow.
As we end our 10th season, and we'll be at episode 500 before you know it. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, for reviewing and sharing us. If you have not been in our Facebook group, I post when we hit number one on the charts in other countries. I post when we do the things. And it's not to self-aggrandize myself or anyone here. It's to thank you for spreading us around the world, because God knows when I invited my friends because D&D confused me, I wanted to do a movie podcast. And that's why after 25 years, we're apparently talking about Pokemon the movie. So see you guys when we talk about Mighty Ducks 3. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Ner Trinette and Daniel Suttis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman, with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Ner Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, Creative Commons/licenses by /4.0. Thanks.